Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm Mike Graham, and you are?
I'm Kevin O'Sullivan.
And guess what, Kevin? The world has gone to shit in the last fucking 7 days since we last spoke.
It's a fucking downward spiral,
is it?
It really is. And today...
I mean, thank God we're reasonably robust individuals who have an ability to make a living. But there's a lot of people who are getting fucked out there, in the arse, not very nicely.
Yeah. And the function of the Labour Party, for me... is to make me feel like the Tory party aren't the biggest bunch of fucking cunts I've ever come across in my life. Because Starmer, no small feat, well done, Keir, is an even bigger cunt than that lot.
Right.
And we'll come on to them a bit later.
Do you know what I find amusing is that various people have said this to me in the past week, that they now just refer to Starmer as fucking Lego head.
Lego.
And I mean, if that's the future Prime Minister, who ordinary people are calling Lego head, what fucking chances
Well, you know who started that? That is my erstwhile TV partner, Alex Phillips, who never ever referred to him unless she called him Lego head.
I think it's a brilliant moniker.
She calls Cameron Spade Face.
I've heard you say that.
Yeah, well, I picked it up from Alex.
But it's great. But I mean, she's absolutely right. Because old Cameron is spade face.
He's got a face like a fucking shovel, he's now flying around
the world on private jets, telling everybody what they should be doing with their foreign policy.
Yeah.
The man whose own foreign policy was Prime Minister was the shittest foreign policy that anybody had ever seen.
The only, you know, I'm dreading the Labour winning the election, which of course they will. The only good thing about it will be that it will dispatch that fucking spade-faced wanker back to where he belongs. That is fucking oblivion.
Although, do you remember, there was this fucking story, and obviously floated by Cameron's fucking Cameroons, or whatever they call themselves, his supporters, who said, well, you know, the thing is, the Labour Party haven't really got a senior figure who could be...
Oh, he's going to work for the Labour Party.
So some people were actually saying, it might be a good idea... Because he's not actually an elected MP, David Cameron on in his role as Foreign Secretary.
I did read that and somebody said, well, they could do worse.
Yeah.
No. They actually, technically, 100% could not do any worse.
No.
You could fucking appoint my dog to be Foreign Secretary.
Yes. How is your dog, by the way?
Better than Cameron. He's a better politician than Cameron.
Right.
Actually, he's getting on a bit now. He's 12 years old.
Well, he was pretty fucking lively on
He oscillates between extreme activity and extreme laziness.
And lots of blind
and you know, like when dogs get old, he's just fucking ordering us around. You know, get up!
Right.
Feed me!
Oh, yeah.
You know, take me out!
No, I've got this all the time now with Ziggy, right? I get fucking woken up by Ziggy at any number of times. It could be 5 in the morning, it could be 6 in the morning. But if he wants something, he's now taken to getting off the bed and standing right next to my head and barking at me, right? And it starts with the kind of... And then if you don't answer, you don't fucking wake up. I want to go out, you fucking cunt. Get up. Fucking let me out.
Yeah, and you always say, oh, trust me, mate, welcome to my life. Chaz does this all the time now. I want to go out. I want something to eat.
Yeah.
And
fucking wake up, you cunt.
Past the seat, you think... I could probably get away with it, pretending I'm not. They know when you're awake.
No.
You think, I can get away.
Listen, I've done it. You
pretend you're
dead. Doesn't help.
You have to do what they tell you.
And do you know what he's done lately? And I know people will probably... loads of people now write in and go, you're treating your dog badly. Because sometimes he wants to go out because he's got some kind of indigestion or something. Yeah. And he just wants to eat the grass.
Yeah.
And I'll go, what the fuck? Are you going for a piss or are you going to have a shit? What are you going to
do? That's right.
And he's just standing there eating the grass.
There's a fucking A. They go, take me out. And you right. go, I'll go, Henry, and I walk away. But I'll better get out. I better take him out.
Take him out.
He clearly wants to go out. Yeah. And you take him out, and he just wants to wander around. Yeah. Are you going to take a fucking piss or not?
I know.
You little
it's
cunt.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. It is hilarious. I mean, I think we all share, dog owners who listen to this will know, we all share the same kind of, you know, pain. But you love them so much that you just keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know? There's a great cartoon in the current edition of The Spectator. And it's two people, a husband and a wife, sitting on the floor with the sofa behind them, the dog stretched out across the sofa, and the husband saying, I'm not quite sure when this power shift changed.
It's true.
But it's true. Yeah, it's true. You let every dog owner will.
You let them up on the sofa, pretty soon you're having to get off.
When they get when they get older, you have to do what they say.
You do.
But talking of dogs, let's talk about Keir Starmer.
Yes.
He's come up with his six pledges today.
Why six, by the way?
I guess it's to differentiate himself from Rishi's failed five pledges. Yeah. But the cynical interpretation was, well, I've got five pledges. Oh, you forgot the migrant crisis. Oh, yeah, I'll stick that on the end.
Yeah, but it's not about the migrant crisis. It's about forming border command, which sounds like something from fucking Where Eagles Dare.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, mate, you can't just rename the border force who are useless and say, oh, now it's going to be brilliant because it's called the border command.
No, fucking hell. Look.
Fuck off.
Politicians, right? Always worried about the backlash if they say things wrong. So when they talk about drug users, they don't criticise working class drug users. It's middle class drug users who are funding the cocaine industry.
Most
easy
target. By the way, most of whom are advising the Labour Party.
Yeah.
They're all fucking out
most
as
of
well.
Them in the Labour Party. So that's the easy target. So what do they say about the migrant crisis? Look at the evil people smugglers. It's all them. It's people smugglers.
Yeah.
Easy target.
Yeah.
You.
We're going to crack down on them.
Here, Keir, listen to me now, and all you fucking idiots, listen to me. You will never solve the migrant crisis by cracking down on the evil people smugglers. If you don't stop the migrants, there will always be people smugglers. You can take these evil people smugglers, you can put them into fucking prison as much as you like. It's like whack-a-mole.
Right.
As long as there's supply and demand, they will reappear. What you've got to do, Keir, you daft cunt, is stop the fucking migrants.
Yes.
Turn the fucking boats around. Don't let them come. If there are no migrants coming to Britain, then the evil people smugglers won't have a fucking business.
Right. And the evil people smugglers can smuggle the people to another place. Because as long as we've got a fucking a house for them to live in, or a hotel room for them to live in, for free of charge, as long as we've given them fucking 49 quid a week, which we are, as long as we've given them free dental care, free fucking health care, free fucking, you know, maternity
free
services.
Free food, free accommodation.
You know, they're going to keep fucking coming until the cows come home.
Of course they fucking
Because why wouldn't they? Yeah. I don't actually, I mean, I'm actually now at a point where, you know, as much as you and I may fucking have a view on the people that are coming here and causing fucking havoc and committing crimes and all that, I don't actually blame most of these fuckers. I blame the government for making
for letting
it so fucking
them do it,
easy.
Course, as you quite rightly say, Mike, that's why they're coming, because they get the life of Riley, you know, and then they hook up with their Albanian mates and start dealing coke while still receiving money from the government.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Or
so,
how do you fancy a job with fucking Deliveroo?
So the narrative that fuckwit Keir, and for that matter, Rishi and his stupid moronic Tory gang, their narrative is this. These poor, manipulated migrants, they're being manipulated, they're being exploited by the evil people smugglers. No, no, they're customers. They spend they pay £5,000, £10,000 to come across the channel. They're not being fucking manipulated.
No.
If you don't stop them, you will always have people smugglers. It's another fucking ridiculous plan
also,
that isn't going
to
work.
Is it not also, though, time, and I said this to a couple of people this week, is it not also time to recognise that, you know, you can't just stop millions of people who are fleeing, not fucking famine, they're not fleeing war, they just don't like where they fucking live, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't blame them. You live in South Sudan, it's a shithole, right? If you live in fucking Somalia, it's a shithole.
Yeah.
Of course they want to fucking leave and come and live in Milan or fucking Rome or London or Paris or fucking, you know, Brussels or Rouen, you know. But the bottom line is, until such time as you can fucking deal with that problem, they're never going to stop coming.
No, of course they
because are. They're always going to want to get a better fucking life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they live in shitholes.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming in search of better economic conditions, and they get them because we give them free money. And then they get jobs, and then they go into drug dealing and whatever. You know, turn the fucking boats around.
Yeah.
Don't let them come here.
Right.
Yeah, it's perfectly possible to turn the boats around in the middle of the goddamn channel.
Yeah.
You know, and the way the Tories are going, because finally they're going, oh, wait a minute, maybe parents don't like 5-year-old kids being taught sex education. Yeah. Oh, I know they've been saying this for 14 years. Oh, got an election coming up. Let's stop it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll tell you what.
The government now grasping
straws. All of a sudden, they're listening to the people.
Right.
Because so there's an election coming up. They didn't fucking listen to us for 13 disastrous years. Yeah. Unlucky for some, as in British citizens. These Tories, fucking cunt wankers. well, they fucking are, aren't they? And now they're suddenly going, right, sex education.
Yeah.
We're going to stop trans talking to cars.
Let's go for the cyclists.
We're going to send cyclists to prison. Blah, blah, blah.
I'd like to lock up all cyclists.
But it doesn't go far enough, everything.
Right.
But what we've been screaming about, what the people of Britain have been screaming about for 14 long years, only now do Rishi and his cunt gang start to listen to us and start to bring in some common sense laws. And the trouble is, it's too fucking late.
Yeah. But how about some of the other pledges from old six of the best Keir Starmer,
the six pledges are basically vote for us because we'll just basically make things a bit better.
Yes, it won't be as bad as the Tories.
Yeah, yeah.
But my favourite one, I think, is number four. The first three are basically nicked from Rishi Sunak, you know, growth... Fucking, you know, stop the boats.
No, he didn't say he's going to grow the apartment.
No, he wants to stabilise it.
Oh, great!
I said this today.
What about growing it?
There's nothing wrong with the fucking economy in this country. It's not unstable.
It's going up,
It's a Western fucking democracy where the economy is actually quite good.
Yeah.
So don't fucking tell me it's unstable, you fucking twat.
And do you want to know something? In the last 6 months, guess what? Britain's economy has grown faster than America and the EU.
But even if it wasn't growing,
mate. It's growing faster than America and the EU.
Yes.
People in the city, I was talking to a city guy the other day, he said, the fucking economy is going gangbusters.
Right. Well,
so stabilising, we don't need it.
Yeah.
We need to improve on the growth.
Because it's not unstable, that's my point.
Yeah.
But let's move on to
the other points?
The other one, the fourth point is, they're going to build the Great British Energy Company, which is the biggest pile of fucking steaming horseshit I've ever fucking heard. Can you imagine? Because I was asking somebody this morning.
It probably will literally be that.
What exactly are they going to do? Are they going to replace all of the power companies that whether it's Scottish Power, whether it's fucking Ecotricity, whether it's fucking, Dale Vince's company, whether it's Octopus Energy, whether it's whatever the fuck it is, EDF. No, they're not going to do that. Apparently, this is the plan, right? They're going to capture all of the sort of renewable energy that we make. They're going to be a supplier of energy to the private companies. How the fuck is that going to change anything? Because the private companies will still go, all right, you've told us that energy, and because you're so efficient, we can make even more fucking profits on it, and we'll still get shoved up the fucking arse by these energy companies, charging us a million fucking gazillion pounds a month and putting on a fucking fire.
You're exactly right. Listen.
Cunts.
Listen. The trouble, even right-wing people, even sound conservatives, right-wing thinkers say, we've got to nationalise the trains, we've got to nationalise the energy companies. You know why they say this?
Right.
Because they're young.
Right.
I am old enough
to remember
when everything was nationalised. Yeah. I'm old enough to remember that when my mother wanted to buy a new cooker or a new fridge, she had to go to a government shop to buy them because
the
utilities were all nationalised.
Do you also remember getting a new phone line? Because you and I are old enough to remember when we probably were like sort of late teens, early 20s. in universities and whatever, you'd be moving into flats all the time.
You'd get a phone.
And the flat wouldn't have a phone.
Oh.
And I, because I fucking worked in Louis, this you know, Hampstead fucking confectioneries, we knew loads of shortcuts. You'd have to literally bribe the local fucking BT guy or post office guy to put a fucking phone in your house, otherwise it would take 6 months to get a phone line.
Yeah, absolutely. And they also sound right wing. People say it's time to nationalise the railways.
I can remember British Rail,
and it was a fucking
shite.
Disaster.
Right.
Nationalisation is always a disaster.
Yeah.
It takes away competition. Mm. It takes away the ambition to provide good services. Because if you provide, okay, you can make jokes about the train services, but private railway companies. But private companies, their ambition, I know they fail all the time, but it is to provide good services, because if you provide good services, you make big profits.
Yes.
If you nationalise them, they don't give a fuck whether making profits.
By the way, have you seen, amongst all the various different fucking people who have attacked me over the years, whether it be cyclists, vegans, fucking Ramonas, bunch of fucking tossers, the latest lot to have attacked me are train drivers, right? I've been under attack from train drivers.
Good.
Since I put out a tweet about 2 weeks ago saying, you know, ASDEF train drivers turned down another pay rise.
That's awesome.
And they went, we haven't, that's a lie, that's an absolute lie. And then we got into this ridiculous argument about how hard it is to drive a train. And they're going, oh, I could do your job, you can fucking do mine. And I'm like, what, you're driving a straight fucking line. You don't have to turn left, you don't have to turn right. When it says stop, it's a red light, you fucking stop. When it says go, you fucking go. How fucking hard is it?
What
and they go, oh, it takes 2 years to train a train driver. Fuck off.
That's because you're so thick.
Right, but also,
I think most people would take two fucking minutes.
But no, but this is a great kind of union thing. It's one of the last holdouts. Remember the old print unions? This is the same thing. The print unions would say, oh, you can't operate a print press because you have to be trained for 5 years to do that, because we've got to bring these people in because they're all my brothers and fucking members of my family. So nobody can actually get the job. They're doing the same thing now, but they're saying they're going to start recruiting 18-year-olds. But they're still saying, ASDEF, it's going to take up to 2 years to train them to drive a fucking train.
Hey, ASDEF.
Do fuck off.
ASDEF, do you know what you are? You're the new NUM.
Yes.
You're the new National Union of Miners. You are the Luddites who are fucked.
Right.
And actually, to be fair to them, I mean, I don't blame them for holding on to their jobs and fighting for better salaries.
70,000 can barely survive on that.
And actually doing their level best to stop the advance of technology.
Yeah.
That's what we don't need train drivers.
No. So that's whatever you mention, by the way, don't ever mention to train drivers, what about just going without train drivers? Well, no, you can't do that. And then when you say, yeah, but there are other countries in the world that do it. No, hardly any. And then when you say, what about the fucking Docklands Light Railway? Do they know what they say? They say, yeah, but a train driver has to sit on that every day to make sure nothing goes wrong. The reason there's a train driver sitting there to make sure nothing goes wrong is because it's a union fucking demand.
It's not necessary. Yeah.
Right?
Spanish practice, and they also demand a guard. You don't need either of them.
Fuck right off.
What ASDEF are, what Arthur Scargill and you were,
they're
the King Canutes of industry.
Yeah.
They are standing there trying to hold back the incoming tide of technology.
Right.
They're fucked in 10 years.
Right.
Hopefully sooner.
Let's hope so.
Because they're a waste of time, they're a waste of space, we don't need them. Once we get rid of them, the trains will probably run on time. But then we'll nationalise them, and then they won't run on time.
But can you imagine? Also,
you fucking give the government. Oh, let's get the government to run things. They can run a fucking bath.
Let's face it. And I spoke about this earlier as well. You know, if they set up this great British energy company, can you imagine? Who's going to run it, right? Who's going to be in charge of it? Are they going to put fucking David Lammy in charge of it? Are they going to give it to somebody?
Ed Miliband.
Ed Millipede.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember the Edstone?
Well, we
took a look at that this week. The Edstone had also six main points on it, by the way.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the Labour Party have got some kind of Masonic fucking love for the number six, right? 666, the number of the beast. They had similarly useless fucking pledges, which nobody believed. and fucking was a complete disaster.
Yeah. Well, so what's happened today? So this is Thursday, isn't it? So you'll probably be listening to this later. So what's happening this morning is Keir Starmer has gone down to Kent to make this speech, and it's like the traditional unveiling of the pre-election Labour
pledges.
Here's
my pledges.
So what I said this morning was, well, fair play to Keir. At least he didn't engrave it on a headstone. Now that fucking headstone, Ed Miliband, look at this. Of course, he didn't bring any of those pledges in, mainly because he's a cunt and he lost.
He didn't get elected.
But that headstone, you know.
Yeah.
About a year later.
It was
found in a scrapyard in East London.
No, because it was for a long time. It was stuck in a fucking warehouse in Hastings. Because he unveiled it in Hastings. And it was really heavy, apparently.
Yeah, well,
No, it's like all these things. It's like, you know, Drop the Dead Donkey or fucking, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm. All of these ridiculous shows, like the, you know, in the thick of it. Mm. It's more comedy than actually reality.
Yeah.
You can't believe these people are so stupid. It's like, you know, as you said, now the Tories are coming out with all these policies, like today, the new big new policy. We're going to lock up cyclists, you know, if they kill anyone. Well, good. Well, why wouldn't you fucking lock them up if they kill anyone? And why wasn't it possible to do it in the first place, idiots?
I see this cyclist pledge today, which, you know, is a step in the right
direction. I would lock them all up.
It doesn't go far enough,
to be fair.
But it's just like, you know, through this week, suddenly the government say, no sex education for kids under nine, and no more of this gender identity bollocks. And if the subject subject crops up, you've got the teachers have to say this is a contested belief.
Yeah.
Every parent in the country has been screaming this for 14 fucking years.
Right.
So this bunch of fucking wankers, they wait until there's an election and go, oh, hang on, what do the people want? Why didn't you think of this earlier?
Right.
And with the cyclists, okay, fine, that's good. How about now, from now on, all cyclists have to obey the rules of the road. They can't go through red lights.
Yeah.
They can't speed because they're allowed to.
Yes.
Poor old deer the other week.
Well, it's worse than that. Yeah. It's worse than that. The poor old deer that got killed the other week.
Yeah.
There was another case in exactly the same fucking spot just last week. Another woman in hospital.
I see them every fucking weekend. I go down
fucking absolute moron.
It's a joke. They go eight across. They go. Now, so, registration, like cars.
Yes.
If you get caught going through a red light, you get done. Like
and
a motorist.
And they take your bike.
If you speed.
Take the fucking
bike. If you speed, you get done. In other words, we regulate cyclists like we regulate everyone else. So it's all very well to say, if you're a cyclist and you kill someone, you're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Well, hey, why didn't you go to jail before?
Yeah.
In the past, evidently it was all right, like that bloke who killed that poor old lady walking her dogs the other week. But
couldn't
you know, it's not enough. And you know why they're not doing the rest of it, what they should do?
Because
they're terrified if they restrict cyclists, they'll go, oh, you don't care about the planet. You
fuck
don't
off.
Care about the environment. If you restrict cyclists, more people won't cycle and the planet will die.
Yeah,
and that's after about 8 million fucking grannies die because the fucking cyclists keep killing them.
Also,
fuck off.
Also, the planet isn't dying anymore. And you know why I know that? Because Greta Thunberg has stopped demonstrating against people who are trying to kill the planet, because now she's like demonstrating against fucking
she
genocide,
wants to save things
genocide in Gaza.
Yeah, she wants to say things beginning with P.
Yeah.
She's given up on the planet. She's moved on to Palestine.
Interesting move, So she was arrested in fucking
the Doom Goblin
Malmo for fucking saying that there was a genocide. How the fuck, by the way, can I just ask this question? Is a genocide being committed where the population, which is supposedly being killed off, is growing? The fucking Palestinian population has doubled in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's not a very good fucking genocide. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of explosions going on in Gaza, including the population explosion.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. And including the fucking explosion of all the fucking bullshit fucking figures that Hamas have been giving out about how many people have been fucking killed. Absolute cuts. Anyway, let's talk about football. Big story this week, VAR. Apparently, Wolverhampton Wanderers, I don't know why they've done it, want to fucking do away with it. Why? Would you welcome it?
I think I would. Do you know, so VAR, you know, the whole project is, you know, to make sure you have...
We're supposed to eliminate
totally
mistakes.
Totally accurate decisions.
We're supposed to eliminate mistakes.
Right, okay, so before VAR, what was the accuracy rate of decisions by referees?
I'll tell you. I would reckon
80%. Yes, 86%.
Right, okay.
After VAR, what is it? 92%.
Okay, so
all we've got for all this agony, right, all this shit, games being fucking ruined for 10 minutes while they all stand around waiting to decide what they're going to do, is a 6% increase in accuracy.
Right.
I always thought, look, you know, human error should be encompassed.
It's,
you know,
part of the show.
You know, refs, that's what I just said, 86% of the time made great decisions.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the time they made bad decisions. Yeah. Sometimes they made appalling decisions. VAR makes appalling decisions. So for all the agony that you go through with VAR, I just don't see the point. I know what it's all about is to provide dramatic television moments like with American football over in America. Right. It's about TV. And as someone who goes to football all the time...
But if you're there, it must be
boring.
It's
a nightmare. Right. You don't know what's going on. When you're watching on the telly, you can see them all, the refs going
and
like
you can get up and go and fucking...
It's for television.
Open another fucking can of beer and all
it
that.
Completely.
Does it happen in other countries? Who else uses it?
That's a good question. I assume they do use it across Europe.
Will it be used in the... You won't be using the Euros.
Don't forget, we don't... I only use it in the Premier League.
So it won't be used in the Euros, for example. I don't know.
Very good question. Yeah. I don't know. I would imagine it might be.
Right.
But don't forget, only the Premier League has VAR.
So it's not the Championship.
None of the lower leagues.
I just find that the time wasted is wrong. And every fucking football fan that I've ever met, every football manager, every player that we all know from TalkSport, they all say, over the course of a season, you get fucked occasionally by the referee, but you also get something in your favour. And it all balances out. But since VAR's been brought in, it seems to me... That whole thing is gone.
It's not random anymore. And it totally disrespects the fans who actually go to the matches.
Right.
It's all about television. I mean, I get that. You've got to sell the game.
So do you think it will be successful?
I suspect
they'll get rid of it.
I suspect the clubs will vote to keep VAR
because
the television companies like VAR, and they get a lot of money from Sky and the other, and TNT. Yeah.
Amazon, I think, pay for some
BT television. Right. Amazon, they get a lot of money. I mean, hundreds of millions of pounds, and they like it because it's good for telly. So I suspect the clubs will vote for it. But in terms of the actual football, I think it's sort of horrible. I mean, I went to an evening game just a couple of months ago. It was 114 minutes the game went on for 100.
That's too long.
So that's 14 minutes of the VAR delays.
Right.
As I say, it's drama on the TV screen. It is a nightmare if you're there.
But you could live without it.
I personally hate it, and it doesn't increase the doesn't significantly increase the accuracy of decisions because they still get it wrong.
Yeah.
But. You know, I'm afraid that clubs will vote for it because the TV companies.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll see. And as far as the season goes, it's all come to an end. I was talking to one of the guys on my squad this week, who's a Nottingham Forest fan. I mean, he was a bit like you were a few years ago, going, actually, I want us to fucking go back down into the Championship.
Championship's lovely.
Because I'm sick of watching the fucking team losing.
Yeah.
Just sick of it.
Also, the Championship's good fun. It's proper football, you know.
But Fulham have done well this year.
Yeah, we stayed up. Guess what I'm doing on Sunday?
Going to
the last game of the season.
Well, you
Luton. I'm going to Luton.
Yeah, you better take some fucking protection.
No, it'll be all right. It'll be all right because they're doomed. They're going down.
Right.
You know. So what I was worried about was that. By the way, I was at Fulham on Saturday.
Fulham Bad City.
To watch Man City.
Bit of a fucking
pummelous.
Yeah. Can you believe that Piers Morgan still thought that as Spurs and Manchester City have met up during the week, that Spurs would fucking win? Sorry.
By the way, can I say this? You know, Spurs fans who were cheering Man City on.
That's mad.
No. I totally appreciate it. I totally understand it. Look, you know, football is driven by I am driven by the love of my team and by the deep, passionate hatred of our rivals.
Of like QPR
and
Chelsea.
So I hate Chelsea. Right. I hate Brentford. I hate fucking QPR because they're our West London rivals, and that my hatred for them knows no bounds.
So you would do the same?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Every day of the week. Every day of the fucking week. Those Spurs fans, with them all away, they're going, not much for us to play for, but we don't want those cunts from Arsenal to win the league. Yeah. Bam, bam.
You know what we haven't talked about, and I think we missed it off last week as well? Fucking baby reindeer.
Ooh.
Fuck me.
Oh, did I tell you?
Have you watched it?
Check it out. So when Piers Morgan, our esteemed colleague, did this interview, it was 2 weeks ago.
Which was fascinating.
I
couldn't stop watching it.
It was.
I was literally glued. Unlike anything else I've watched for a long time. Yeah. And I'm not just picking up Piers.
No, sure.
I was glued to her answers and the kind of madness.
She's very mad. Anyway, so he did that interview, I think it was two Wednesdays ago. So I went into makeup.
Yeah.
Because I was coming up to do my show.
Oh, did you see her?
I had a long chat with her.
Did you?
So she's getting makeup next to her. She goes, hello. I go, hi, who are you?
I didn't know who she was.
I said, what are you up to then? She's like, I'm getting to my peers. Oh, yeah. She's like, terrible getting around London. So we had this long chat. And then I came out, and Kieran, Piers's producer, said, you know who that is, don't you? I said, no. She said, that's baby reindeer girl. I went, oh, fucking hell. So my decision not to give her my number, I think was warranted.
Very much so.
I mean,
she's now threatening to sue Netflix, right? Which I don't
think... Good luck with that!
I don't think she'll be successful. She also...
Got 250 quid for it.
Right, I don't know if you saw this, but she also, on the front page of Daily Record, because the Record and the Mail in Scotland have been all over like a rash, she actually said she now wants £1 million from Piers Morgan. Because of the fucking success of the show.
Yeah.
And of course, he tweeted out going,
you don't want $1 million, you want a better agent.
You want an agent, yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I don't know.
Have you ever had a stalker? I mean, I've had, shall we say, I've had what would be described as previous relationships, which didn't go all that well, and sometimes turned into something pretty fucking bad.
I've had...
Stalker-wise.
I had this weird woman. She wasn't in any way malevolent.
Not sexual?
So it goes back to when I was doing my column for the Sunday Mirror. Oh, yeah. She used to start sending me texts or whatever. Right. Emails, I think it was. It was direct messages on Twitter.
Because in the old days, you would have your email address at the end of the story, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I think she either used the emails or she used direct messages on Twitter or something. It was perfectly harmless. It was really weird.
Yeah.
So she would say, I love your column this week. I was just saying to Grant, that was her husband. So she would send me all these stories about her family. And, oh, man, you were in good form. Oh, I've got to go to the hospital. So I just got this sort of, every week, I got this massive update on her life and how much she liked my column and all this. And I used to send her one and I'd say, oh, yeah, good to hear from you.
See, that's the trouble, isn't it, if you fucking start
responding. She was completely benevolent, completely nice, but just sort of like...
Not really a stalker.
Well, yeah, in a way, because everything I ever wrote should come on in.
Right.
But it was completely harmless. Did it
stop at some point?
Yeah, and I think she was old, and I fear she may have departed this mortal coil.
Right.
But also, the other thing about her was I could tell she was very old because she used to sort of talk about Harold Wilson and things like that. But she would act like her son was called Glenn. She kept going about her son Glenn. And she'd act like Glenn was just leaving school and embarking on life's highway.
Right.
She was worried
about...
talking
about 60.
Yeah.
Right.
I think she was very old and she'd sort of transported herself back to her heyday and was like relaying her family dramas from the past to me. The only thing I wasn't even freaked out about. I just thought... this is very strange.
That's weird, yeah.
But that's
the world that we've inhabited, I suppose, since they brought in what is... Because social media does that, doesn't it? It gives you, if you're an ordinary individual, access to people that you might never have otherwise been able to talk to. Unless you literally stood outside the fucking stage door and waited for them to come out.
I mean, I've made a couple of friends of people when I was doing my column on the Sunday Mirror. Couple of people become quite good friends.
Well, look at all the people that
they
come to
talk
to
me.
Look at all the people that we've sort of become pretty good friends with, and people that we know who come to the Thought Police.
Yeah,
meet, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I know
we
keep saying it, but we're definitely fucking doing one sooner. Probably.
Yeah, we definitely will. I was thinking about that the other day. So these people would contact me via Twitter, and then one of them said, oh, we're coming to London. Right. I said, all right, meet for a drink. They're really nice people.
Yeah.
Still friends of mine.
Sure.
You know, so this idea...
You haven't had 41,000 emails from them.
No, I haven't.
No.
But this idea that, you know, anyone who contacts you through Twitter or social media, be fucking careful. Maybe you should be careful. But I think it's sort of a bit depressing that you just decide every single one of them is a complete nutcase and they're going to kill you or something.
Because they're not.
They're not. And most of them are nice people.
And without going into the ins and outs, because I haven't watched the show, I only watched the first episode, about half an hour of it, after I watched the interview with Piers, you know, it's not that clear.
I didn't like the series.
No.
Okay. I got to episode four and I'm bored.
Well, people say that's the horrible bit, isn't it? But also, the thing is, it's like, you know, it doesn't appear to be a sexual thing. It doesn't appear to be anything other than a very awkward
situation. Although she likes to talk sex talk.
She likes to talk sex talk.
Episode four, I think it is.
About the curtains and all that.
Yeah, or beef curtains and all that stuff. She was very...
It's not an attractive
phrase. She was very filthy mouthed with all that. I think she got off on using that sex talk.
Right.
And then I think it's episode four, she sticks her hand down his trousers and wanks him off.
Okay.
And
So it is a bit sexual.
Though. Oh, fuck, you know, it gets very sexual.
Oh, really?
Okay. Gay rape.
See, I didn't know that.
Gay rape and everything.
Yeah, but he gets raped by another bloke.
Yeah. But
sorry,
when it got to that point, about episode four, it was very good storytelling, don't get me wrong. Richard Gadd wrote a good drama.
But maybe he made some of it up.
Well, that's another issue. But I just got a bit bored and I thought, oh, and I knew it was going to go down a very seedy alley. And I've got nothing against sex programs and seedy but I myself, I'm a bit sort of puritanical.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I'm the same. I don't want to watch like Bridgerton, where loads of people
I hate Bridgerton.
You know, I hate the idea of all these people just getting their fucking clothes off just because it's on BBC. It's really daring, you know, it's really amazing. Fuck off. If you want to watch fucking porn, I'll watch porn, thanks. I don't really want to watch some kind of fucking soft porn bullshit version of fucking history. Thanks very much.
And I'm sorry to be sort of rather old-fashioned about this, but if I see a historical drama, when it's set in the 18th century, and 70% of the people in the Garden of England are people of colour, black, I go... This isn't ringing true for me.
No.
It doesn't work for me. No. So, and I'm certainly not interested in prurient sex.
Right. You better not watch Doctor Who then, because obviously that's another fucking shot.
Should we talk before we go? Should we talk about the gruesome twosome and their weird
pretend royal
tour?
We'll give you
pretend
a bonus.
Royal tour of Nigeria.
Pretend tour of Nigeria. I'm 37% Nigerian.
43% Nigerian, 57% pure bullshit.
Absolute fucking rubbish. Somebody pointed out this week that she had previously in the past claimed that she had some connection to Malta, and also she thought that
Where did she go?
She also thought she was Irish.
Yeah.
No, she thinks she's got some Irish blood in there as well.
Yeah, well, that would be an offence to my people.
Exactly,
so we're not having that.
Do you believe that she actually went there and said, I'm so pleased to be in my country?
Yeah, she said that.
Fuck right off.
Here's the other fucking speech she made. So when they first got there, the master of the English language or mistress of the English language, she stands up in front of this little fucking assembly of Nigerian VIPs. She goes, I mean, I'm 43% Nigerian. And she goes, all these, you're in me.
Oh, fuck me. That is.
Do you care to rephrase that, Megan?
Yeah, that's. Well, you know what was interesting? Yeah. Because I proposed nothing. I don't know if you saw this that I did. I just played it out because I thought it was weird. That in all of the weirdness about Rory McIlroy's divorce and him getting separated from his wife for 7 years, there's a whole history of different women that he's been out with. You know that she, Meghan Markle, did the Ice Bucket Challenge with Rory McIlroy back in 2014 when she was hadn't met fucking Prince Harry, but when she was kind of knocking around, and I use that phrase very advisedly, looking for a fucking rich husband. And she was clearly flirting with Rory McIlroy, who I think at the time had either just broken
up...
Had a lot of money and just broken
up. He had an engagement.
Caroline Wozniacki,
He literally broke off on the eve of the marriage.
Well, he freaked out when he saw the fucking wedding invitations. They sent them all out, and that was when he cancelled it. And I'm pretty sure that this was around the same time.
Yeah.
And suddenly, here's Meghan Markle flirting away with, you know, the world's number one golfer, who's worth about fucking 200 million quid. And you start to think to yourself... Well, you just always trying to find some fucking rich bloke to marry. And now you've got your fucking wish. And also, there's a great picture of them after coming off the plane in London, I think it is, or LA, I can't remember, where when the cameras are off, because this is not an official camera scenario, They don't fucking touch each other. They don't look at each other. They're literally walking towards the terminal without any kind of contact.
Kinsey Schofield said that to me last night. He said they were all there. It was a big PDA, public display of affection in Nigeria. When they got off the plane in California, she said it was like the Arctic had struck. Yeah, and they were walking 4 yards apart, not looking. And he got pissed off. You could tell. Palpably, just like his dad used to get pissed off when all the cameras were on Diana. Right. Harry got pissed off because all the cameras were on Meghan.
Yeah, because he might as well not been Nigeria.
And then, of course, they flew. By the way, the great women's rights campaign and the feminist Meghan.
Yeah,
this is why the real royal family, a proper royal tour, would never happen in Nigeria because it's the wrong country to do this. Royal tours go to countries that deserve it. She goes there. I'm a feminist. Women's rights.
I'm proud.
In Nigeria, the women's have no rights. Female genital...
Men don't have many rights either.
Yeah, but female genital mutilation is rife.
Right.
And hundreds, thousands of kids regularly get kidnapped...
By Boko Haram.
By Boko Haram and bandit gangs.
Right.
Who use them to...
Sex slaves.
For blackmail and also as sex slaves. That's the country that those two fucking useful idiots went to endorse.
Yeah.
And that was naive, wrong, and they're saying they're going to do more of these tours. Where next? Somalia?
Yeah,
Sudan. North Korea?
Yeah.
Sudan? You know, I mean, this is getting ridiculous, and British diplomats are very worried about these two fuckwits touring the world, making countries that don't deserve it look good.
Yeah.
And then they came back, and their charity's delinquent.
Yeah.
Fucking
although, up. Of course, they've said, well, we've sorted that out now.
We're still delinquent.
I'd be more concerned about the fact that, despite the fact that they're a multi-billion dollar charity, they're only paying 200 fucking bucks in taxes.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The fact is, they were ruled delinquent. Yeah. And they can go, oh, the check got lost in the post, as Kinsey said.
Yeah, I won't come in your mouth either.
Well,
fuck off.
Yeah, but it's like Kinsey said, yeah, the dog ate my home.
Yeah, yeah.
However,
sorry,
you're right.
They
you did. You went the extra mile.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, what that depicted, what the image that projected was one of utter shambles.
Exactly.
Utter shambles. Yeah. And by the way...
And dodginess, by the way.
Yeah, so it's back on track now, Archwell Foundation. Donations to Archwell are down by, since it started...
No, about
by
100%.
By about $30 million.
Them, no, because one guy gave them about fucking $11 million the first year, didn't do it again. And after that, they raised literally fuck all from the general public, right? Meanwhile... The woman who says that she loves her children and she wants to live every moment of her life celebrating being a mother somehow didn't have her children with her on Mother's Day in America, which was last Sunday, decided to go to Nigeria, her country, without taking her children, without wishing to say to them, why don't you come and see my new country, the country that I love, the country that I was fucking, you know, born in. Oh, no, you weren't born in it. But why would you bring your fucking kids?
I know.
What's wrong with them?
I know.
Fucking kids.
And by the way, to sign off, you know her website,
American Riviera Orchard. Yeah.
And it's like full of beige stuff that you can buy cushions and kitchenware and cutlery, as I said earlier. You can buy cutlery off a... Which brings a whole new meaning to the term knife crime. Because the fucking prices are ridiculous. But look, she sent out 50 fucking jars of alleged homemade strawberry jam, mostly to people who just chucked them in the bin and didn't want to know. But look, let me ask you this question. She launched this, what, 8 weeks ago?
Something
10
like that.
Weeks ago? When can I fucking buy something on that website?
No, because this is what I've said to you before. They're great at fucking announcing shit.
Yeah.
They're shit at doing
it. And that's the thing about the Archwell charity. Yeah. These two, you know, I'm just putting this out there. Are these two, this fucking bunch of these two gruesome twosome, their majesties from Montecito, are they the type of people who just start things but can never finish?
Absolutely.
That's what they are, aren't they?
That and the facts of the story would absolutely bear that out.
Yeah.
There's nothing they've started they've ever finished.
No, exactly.
Fuck them.
Exactly, fuck them.
Anyway, that's good enough for me. That's the thought.
You can all fuck off.
You can all fuck off. Don't be stupid. We'll see you next week.
We'll be right back.